ॐ नमो पार्वते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
This morning we're reading from Canto 2, Chapter 9, in Text 37 is the first verse following the Chapter Shloki verses of the Bhagavatam. Chapter Shloki verses are 33, 34, 35, and 36 of Chapter 9. And Prabhupada refers to them in the purport. In text 36, the previous verse, that has quite a long purport, something like a 12-page purport. The verse, the Sanskrit is Etavad Eva Jigyasyam Tattva Jigyasunatmanaha Anvaya Vyati Rekabhyam Nasyat Sarvatra Sarvada. Translation: a person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead, most certainly a person who is searching after the Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, most certainly should be searches for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, both directly and indirectly. Sounds like a full-time project, right? Forget everything else, just in all space and all time, both directly and indirectly, in all circumstances. But it doesn't mean that you stop doing everything else and you do this. It means that in connection with everything you do this. To connect with the Personality of Godhead by this inquisitive spirit. Which then connects with text 37. O Brahma, just follow this conclusion by fixed concentration of mind, and no pride will disturb you, neither in the partial nor in the final devastation. Very interesting language of the Bhagavatam. Going back before the Chatur Shloki verses, Brahma asked for a benediction. Going back beyond that, the Personality of Godhead disclosed himself before Lord Brahma, saying, I'm very pleased by your penances and your devotion. So I'd like you to make a request of me. What is it, something that you would like? So Brahma asked four questions, and they ask for a benediction. Four Chatur Shloki verses are the answers to those four questions. And then the benediction was that when I am performing my act of creation, please protect me from the egoistic pride that says that I'm doing it, which applies to all of us because we're all doing something. We go to the market, or we cook an offering, or we do our career activities, or study, or something. We all do something. Put on our shoes, walk around the corner. We all do something. So when we're doing the somethings that we do, how to be protected from egoistic pride. Because that comes, pride comes very naturally in the material context of things. The material disease is a very strong one. So what's the antidote for pride? The person who's seeking is the personality of Godhead, so it's quite authoritative. He's saying the antidote is this inquisitive nature, or the Sanskrit of the verse is etam, the tam, samatishtaha, paramena, samadhina, bhavan, kalpavikalpeshu, na, vimuyanti, karichit. Na, vimuyanti. You will not be bewildered. Karichit. And Prabhupada has translated this as anything like complacence. You'll not be bewildered by anything like complacence. So what is what's the connection between complacence and pride? What is complacence? Complacence is something like reaching a plateau. You are striving, let's say spiritually, there's material complacence. You strive for spiritual complacence, you're striving spiritually, there's submission. And driven, excuse me, driven by all kinds of material motivations, mixed with spiritual ones, one strives. The material motivations become satisfied. I have some suffering, I'm curious, I want economic relief, or I want knowledge. There's some impetus, material impetus. The material impetus becomes satisfied. And complacency. Because my reason for submission is now addressed. It's taken care of. So, my submission slackens. Now, all of you have undoubtedly experienced that. Think I'm okay, you're okay, things are okay, and relax. Submission slackens. And what comes? And there's no delay. Immediately comes pride. Anger, lust, greed, jealousy. Soon as submission slackens. Some people it's now I feel better. Some people it's now I'm part of the group. Some people now I'm initiated. Some people now it's whatever, you know, I have a post. I have a position. So submission slackens. When we went to Karoli to see the Madan Mohan deity, same as the last time, the king, and now this time the son of the king, the prince, they came to attend one of the artists. And they had their VIP place up on the front altar, but they were not dressed in any fancy clothing, royal attire, simple white khadi cloth, kurta and dhoti, little colorful turban, but stood there with folded hands in a submissive, humble mood. So this submission, now, it's very important, and the submission can be, in certain ways, external. But really the test is, you know, the internal mood of submission that we carry. And this verse is indicating, O Brahma, just follow this conclusion by fixed concentration of mind. One will not get fixed concentration of mind by something external. It really requires effort, internal effort. And concentration of the mind upon what? So that's with reference to the previous verse. For searching out the personality of Godhead in all circumstances, in all space, in all time, both directly and indirectly. So that's a full-time occupation, but that's an internal cultivation while we're doing our duties of life. And that way we're protected from pride. And the price for that protection is our enthusiastic, humble submission. It's a nice price. Because it feels right. Although it's taxing, we have to give something. It's the mood of service. A Vaishnava is protected by their humility expressed in the mood of service. Not humility in the sense of just trembling and cowering and not being able to do anything because I'm in such a humble condition, but actively serving in this humble mood of service and with submission. Otherwise, we revert to material consciousness. And we're all too familiar with material consciousness to really want it. And so the obstacle is pride. I don't want to surrender. You know, it's like material consciousness once again. I've worked, now I deserve a vacation. Prabhupada discusses this in the introduction of Nectar of Devotion, where it's like sankalpa vikalpa. One, the fruitive mentality is like that. I have worked very hard, now I deserve a little break from work. The devotional service isn't, I've done some devotional service, now I deserve a little break from devotional service. Because it's our constitutional position. The complacency in itself is selfishness or a material conception. Constitutionally, we're meant for serving Krishna. That's the spiritual conception. And it's our position of happiness, and it's our position of being energized, being enlivened, being illumined, being happy, being peaceful. Even if the circumstance itself is troubling, we can be internally peaceful if we know we're rightly situated. And conversely, even if things are externally smooth as silk, if internally that submission is not there, there's disturbance in the mind. Or to speak of when some provocation externally comes. So, In the purport, Prabhupada discusses a few very significant points. He's saying that these Chatrasloki verses of the Bhagavatam that begin with Aham Evasam Evagre, is the first line of the Sanskrit, is the summarization of the Bhagavatam, just as the Chatrasloki verses of the Bhagavad Gita, spoken by Krishna, beginning with Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, is a summarization of Bhagavad Gita by the same person speaking, Krishna speaking, Krishna speaking.
He's speaking to Brahma, in this case in the Bhagavatam. And what is the method of understanding? He repeats it 8 times. What it is and what it isn't. Most strongly he's presenting what it isn't. And then what it is. What it isn't is grammatical word juggling. I can understand what he means because this word means this, and that word means that, and that word means this, and that word means that, put them all together, you get such an interesting meaning. The message is not to be understood by intellectual, grammatical, word jugglery, by speculative methods. I mean, he says it 8 times. I can read it to you. It's interesting how he can say the same thing 8 times. He wants the reader to understand this is not something that's to be understood by purported knowledge and grammar and dry speculation. Therefore, the Lord warns Brahma, and through Brahma, all future devotees of the Lord in the disciplic succession of Brahma, and one should never be misled by the conclusion of so-called grammarians. Or by other men with poor fundamental knowledge. So that's how to not address oneself to the Bhagavatam. How is one to address oneself to the Bhagavatam? By approaching the bodhisattva guru in the disciplic succession from Brahma. Approach Brahma because he has the qualification to understand. Not through the medium of speculation, but through Taini Brahma Harindaya Adikavi. Everything is enlightened within this part. So one must approach the disciplic succession and help them read that theme in several times. And that this submission to the disciplic succession results in a clear understanding of the message. And what is some evidence of a clear understanding of the message? Detachment from worldly pursuits of sense gratification. This is the Yukta Vairagya principle Prabhupada is teaching him. He doesn't call it by name. So submission and hearing result in realization of the message. The symptom of the realization of the message is detachment from sense gratification. Then Prabhupada explains this detachment is known in Bhagavad Gita as Brahma-bhuta, stage of God-realization, and that's just preliminary. Detachment is preliminary. Brahma-bhuta, prasadhāva, nasa-chati, nākāṁ-chati, sa-observation, meditation, and bhakti-mitigate-rā. You know this version of Brahma-bhuta. Then Prabhupada says that Brahma-bhuta and Aparam, they mean the same thing. Was the Aparam verse of Bhagavatam? You learned this from the first canto. No, the first part is right. The second part is borrowed from chapter 2. Well, this is doing the first part. I don't know, Mr. Mogino, you're going to help the other come in. No. But as I spoke with that, Atmarama is means satisfaction within. Atmarama means satisfaction within. When there's real satisfaction within, then there's this exhibition of detachment from other things. Detachment in the sense of giving up is pretense. If there's not real satisfaction within, but when there's real satisfaction within, letting go of other things is already accomplished. So that's overall satisfaction within. Results in detachment from other things, extraneous, relational things. So that's the Brahma-Buddha stage. No sojati, no kamasati, some observation, bhutesho. That's Brahma-Buddha stage. Even anchoring, lamenting, seeing equally different circumstances of life. Brahma-Buddha. And Atmarama. So the symptom of, put that in the context of this Bhagavatam verse, one who is even in the cultivating stage, like our stage, the mandate is to stay fixed in this ongoing submission and we're protected. That seed of devotion will grow and fructify. We just need to stay fixed in this, taking the instructions of the disciplic succession, molding our lives accordingly, and continuing in this mood of submission. The active principle, the seed, needs to be continuously activated. Complacency doesn't work. Doesn't move you forward. In fact, complacency means that again one becomes covered. And the symptoms of that covering are readily discernible. Sense gratification and complacency, other symptoms, greed, pride, anger, so forth. Prabhupada quotes another verse, 1:2:20. Okay, here's the first canto verse for you. Shruti Dars. Evam prasanna manaso. Mukta sangasya jayate. So that's the operative connection, mukta sangasya jayate. Mukta sangasya jayate. Through the medium of bhakti, mukti is already it's delivered. We don't need to separately think about getting released from material entanglement. We need to think about dedication so that the operative principle is the submission. Eagerly trying to please Krishna. The mind becomes evam prasanna manaso. The mind becomes satisfied. Bhagavat tattva vigyan, transcendental knowledge becomes accessible to us, disclosed to us. Stage of liberation from material, running around after material stuff. Get relief. Just from devotional service. The science of God can be understood. Prabhupada writes, in this stage of full satisfaction, full satisfaction of Ram, of a Buddha, and detachment from the sensory world, as Hojati and Hojati. In that state, one can then realize the mystery of the science of God with all its confidential intricacies. That's the method of approach, not speculation. I was giving a moment. Not exactly. He's giving a class somewhere. I think it was about to be a class in some home. There are a group of older Bengali folks there. And I've never had someone so politely directly speak like this, but at the end, you know, if you give different explanations of the following verse of Bhagavad Gita, so you don't give different explanations. You just take the direct meaning. Because he's used to, you know, Ram Krishna, and this means that, that means something else, and put them all together to get an interesting package. They're used to that. No direct meaning. No direct meaning. What's your interesting concoction, sir? And, you know, that'll have one. You just take the direct meaning. And that's what Prabhupada's referring to. So, otherwise, so that the message of Bhagavatam means mystery. Prabhupada writes, mystery of the science of God. This word mystery has been woven as a theme throughout the chapter Sloki verses. Rahasya is the Sanskrit. The verse immediately preceding the chapter Sloki verses. And the mystery is devotional service. The mystery is that he who is unknowable becomes knowable. We can't by our mind know him, but it becomes knowable. Like the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says nobody knows him. The great sages, the seven great sages, and before them the four great sages, and from them the progenitors of mankind, and all the descendants of demigods, and everybody, all the earliest people and the smartest people, they don't know him. Because one can't know. Any entity that's created cannot know its source of origin. Because before you existed, what existed, you don't know. Unless there's disclosure. And then he discloses, I'm like this. And then one can know. But it's only then, just as Krishna is doing with Brahma, I'm like this. Then you can know. And that's how he knows, by disclosure. But even when there's disclosure, if the mind is in this speculative frame, or self-gratification, that's then one won't. Even if there's disclosure, you won't know. So what's Rupa Goswami's teaching in Nectar Devotion, Anyabhi Vashata, Shunyam, Jnana Karma Jnabhutam? By speculation or fruitive work, by fruitive efforts to try to find happiness. So such gratification, mental speculation. That the abandoning of those approaches will happen to the degree that there is submission and there's happiness inside as a result. That's where the happiness comes from. Connecting with the Supreme in the proper way. Then when there's disclosure, then the mysteries are understood. That's what Prabhupada is explaining here. He then expresses that this is also stated in Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Desham satata yoktanam Vajatam Pati Purvakam Tatami Bodhiyogam Tam. Unto the devotees who are personally engaged in the Lord's transcendental loving service, Preeti Purvakam, the Lord, out of his causeless mercy upon the devotee, gives direct instructions. So that they were going to make full progress on the path between Bombay and Radha. Then he says again, don't try to understand this by speculation. Then he does something very interesting. He says, in the Sruti, in the Gopala Tapani Upanishad, it is said, Gopa, Vaishno, me, Purusha, Prastat, Avirbhuvana, Avirbha, Bhuva. That is, the Lord appeared before Brahma as a counterpart. That is, the original personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna Govinda. Proof, Krishna's original personality of Godhead. And one won't understand, again, one won't understand this if one approaches in a speculative method. And this is how the conclusions of the Bhagavatam are to be properly understood. That's a very fitting. This is the report just following the chapter so how we understand these things. Don't do it this way, do it this way. And there are scriptural references giving us full support.
Submission, it is more in Samaritan.
It's more with?
It is more in the other areas, it is not so much.
By deciding to do so, I mean, you know, the how to. Where there's a will, there's a way. Maybe Krishna will help you. Each of us are different. And, you know, one area of submission may be easier for you and more difficult for the same area may be more difficult for another person, and vice versa. Because we have attachments. We have our conditioning. But by nature, the material energy, wherever our attachments are, wherever our weaknesses are, the losing energy has a strong hold. Like, you know, someone may develop a sense of pride because, unlike everybody else, I do menial service. So it's good to be, they're feeling they're not above some menial service, but they also may be captured by the material energy in another way. So, in all aspects of our service, in all aspects of life, it's a matter of going deeper than, you know, a mental adjustment. It's, you know, to the platform of the soul where we're meant for serving. We're meant for serving Krishna. We're not above this or that type of service if there's some service to Krishna to do. But each thing that we do goes to the other side of what text 36 is saying, the last of the chapter 12 verses is saying. It should be in relation to the personality of God in all ways, in all circumstances, everywhere, always, in all times, in all places. So another way of answering your question is, just going back to the first, there's an instruction in the following. O Brahma, just follow this conclusion by fixed concentration of the mind. Within the instruction, everything one needs to know is there. The problem isn't, oh, I don't know how to do it. The problem is, if the how-to part is not, and someone hasn't disclosed to me how-to yet. That's the problem, I just don't know how-to. That's not what the problem is. So I said, we're struggling against our own conditioning. You know, the world of, the kingdom of illusion that we created for ourselves within our mind and around us. That's the struggle. We've invested a lot in building this kingdom. And now we're trying to go in some other direction. So material energy doesn't move so quickly. But by surrendering to Krishna, not making a repugnant thing, I need to try to take that out. There's not a technique that's missing. So it's a gradual cultivation, and just as Prabhupada explained so eloquently, when that submission is there, Krishna gives direct instructions so that the devotee may make accurate progress on the path to turning home that direction. Now there may be some nice, personal, subtle point that may be particularly pertinent to your situation. That someone who's, you know, you ask your friends, What are some of the blind spots that I have that it, you know, you can help me see? Can I just apply myself like that? I'm lazy in this or that area. And I'm just not seeing it. Although maybe you can see it because, you know, where we live so closely together with one another, it must be obvious to you, or your teacher. The problem is, the blindness is because of our lack of submission. It's not something's holding us, somebody's got their hands tied. Thank you.